All right. Well, I got to bring all my goodies with me tonight.
It's not a purse. It's a man's bag.
I've been using you guys a lot this week.
Amen.
And our illustrations. But I thought I'd give you the night off. So, except for the fact that, you know, y'all can cheer. Because I thought tonight it might be fun to let your team captains have a chance. What do y'all think?
Which one, the men or the women?
It would be Tim. I've just got to be honest, it would be too easy for the ladies, and it's going to be a lot more funny with the men.
That's not right, brother.
The problem is it's way too right. So, gentlemen, y'all come up here with me. If y'all can kind of take your place on either end of this table. Okay, either end. There's only two. Just pick one. Their math skills are not making this any easier. The ends, brother. I said ends, not side. And I thought you guys struggled with listening. After the difficulty y'all had interpreting the word end, I don't know if I want to ask this next question.
Please don't.
So now I need y'all to tell me which one of y'all is better with working with your hands.
Oh, yeah. I got this.
You got this? You got this. All right. So here's what we're going to do. How many of you kids know what this stuff is?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Play-Doh, right? Everybody knows Play-Doh. So here's what we're going to do. I'm not bringing out a blindfold. I tried to loosen this up before we came so it wouldn't do. There we go. We got some Play-Doh here, and it's very simple. All you're going to have to do, I'm going to try to split it up evenly here. All you're going to have to do is try to make something that can hold some water in it. So whose ever construction can hold the most water wins. So, it's simple. Whatever, you got to wait till I said go, but whatever you can make that can hold the most water wins. All right? Got a little cup of water. I got some towel. I got a towel in case we spill. All right. On your mark.
How much time do we got?
Man, how much time do you need?
Ready,
we ask all the hard questions, brother.
All right, ready. On your mark. Get set.
Go.
Hold on. Sorry. Yeah, you said you were good with your hands, so we're just going to do that there. Okay. All right, you said you got this. You got this.
I did.
On your mark.
I had it, but now I lost it.
On your mark. Get set. Well, hang on a second. First of all, you're cheating.
He's not even going to get none. They use plastic.
Okay, so what's the problem that he has now? He doesn't have any material to work with, right? But you said that you were good with your hands. So I'm going to trust and I'm going to take... No cheating. Okay? So we're going to see who can make something that can hold the most water with their hands. On your mark. Who can do it the fastest? On your mark. Get set. Go! I don't know. Maybe he's trying to, like, Jedi mind trick it or something. I don't know.
What do you think a wall told you?
Open my mouth. My foot always goes in.
A wall told you.
That's why
I
say things.
Oh, you don't say that.
We're going to give you about 10 more seconds. 9,
you're doing good, brother.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. No, you had to use the material you were given. You had to use the material you were given. All right, hey.
I think I'm going to need that towel.
That's not a bad little bowl. If you turn it that way, I see some similarities here. I said me too. I held some mine too. All right. All right, so just go ahead and put yours down. We'll see who's wins.
I think that rock's going to win.
Hey. That's doing a pretty good job. It held quite a bit.
To the cup overflowing.
Yeah, I can do more, but I don't think this is going to hold very much.
Oh, man.
Oh. Yeah, I'll call you nothing.
That's pretty sad.
Hey, some puddled right there. Some puddled right there. The word thimble comes to mind. All right, I think we got a winner. I'm sorry, brother, but I think it's Brother Daniel.
I was going to win. I'm trying to add, I didn't think we need to do this for points.
Yeah. Obviously, it was rigged.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was very one-sided for a very specific reason, and you'll learn that here in a minute. We're going to be back in the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Back in the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Move this out of the way so I don't trip and hurt myself. We learned this morning about some of the things that happened in Joseph's life. We learned about everything that happened with Potiphar's wife, getting thrown in jail, being pulled out of jail to try to interpret another dream, and all these different kinds of things. We learned about a lot of difficulties that were going on in Joseph's life, right?
Yeah.
We learned about a lot of hardships and hard things that he was going through. Now let's see how sharp everybody is. And adults, y'all can answer too. Whenever we come across those hard times in our life, whenever something unexpected happens in our life, whenever something bad starts going on in our life that we weren't ready for, what's the first question we always ask? Why? And I like how they said, just why? That's not ever how we ask. As soon as something bad happens in our life, why? Why me? Why couldn't it happen to somebody else? Why couldn't it happen to people that hit very nice adults in the face with dodgeballs? Why couldn't it happen to them? I do have to apologize to Dylan. I did find out that it wasn't him. But it is more fun to blame him anyway, so I'm probably going to keep doing that. Guys, there are going to be things that happen in your life. You're not going to understand. You're not going to see where it comes from. You're not going to be ready for it. And you're not going to understand why it's happening to you. But always remember, what's the first thing we learned about God? He's got a plan. He's got a design. He doesn't do anything by accident. Sometimes, when we do things, they work out well. And you say, hey, didn't think it was going to work out that way, but I'm glad that it did. A lot of times, if you're like me, and you're extremely skilled at working with your hands, the more you try to fix something, the more broken it becomes. But in Joseph's life, he was going through a lot of things that just didn't really make any sense. He's going through a lot of things that he didn't even cause. But tonight we're going to find out why. Tonight we're going to find out what it was that God was doing in Joseph's life that required him to go through all of these things. You remember what happened with his brothers? We've gone over that several times this week. He had dreams. He told them about it. It didn't go well. But we're going to pick up after he's been sold to the Ishmaelites, after they've sold him to Potiphar now. So now he's a servant in Potiphar's house. And we learned about that this morning, but we're going to read through it again, and we're going to show you something else that's really amazing about the life of Joseph. You know what we have a tendency to do whenever those hard times come is we have a tendency to just kind of throw up our hands and just about give up sometimes. You know what? If my life's going to turn out this way anyway, what's the point of trying? But let's read about Joseph. Let's read about Joseph here. Chapter 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. We learned about this. Praise God, the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw, look at this verse, verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he did in the house. The blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had. It means he didn't worry about what was going on. He trusted Joseph with it, save the bread that he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. And God, we thank you once again for your word. God, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much for the opportunity to learn more. Lord, as the devil's trying to distract and as so many things are happening in our minds and in our hearts, trying to keep us from hearing from you and trying to keep us from seeing what you have in store for us tonight, God, I pray that you would take complete control. I pray that you would enable us to hear you. I pray that you would enable us to listen. I pray that you would enable us, Lord, to be open to the work that you're trying to do in us. Starting right here in my own heart, Lord, help me to give in to you and help me to surrender myself that you might work in me what you would have done. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me and cleanse me of any sin, any iniquity. Lord, that I might be a useful vessel for your Holy Spirit. God, teach us this evening and help us all to learn from you and to surrender to your work. We praise you for it. It's in your most precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You see, the Lord was with Joseph, but there was a very key characteristic about Joseph that led to his prosperity even in these hardships. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, he wasn't really that hard off in Potiphar's house, though. I mean, he got to live in a nice place, got to work in a nice place. It really wasn't that bad. Was it his home?
No.
Was it with the family that he loved? Was it with amongst the place and the land that he loved? Remember, he was taken from his family and sold into a harsh and unforgiving land that he had never seen before. He was surrounded by circumstances and people and situations that he had never seen before. That was not an easy thing to do. That was not an easy place to be. And yet you saw something about Joseph. What did it say in verse 3 again? And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Okay, so I'll give it to you. Maybe these aren't the worst circumstances for Joseph. Yes, he wasn't at home, and that was very, very difficult. Because in their culture, in the Jewish culture, family is the most important thing in your life. Family is extremely important to the Jewish people. But, like you said, but what happened after Potiphar's house? Where was Joseph then? Joseph was falsely accused and thrown into prison for something he didn't do, right? So let's see how it turned out for Joseph there. Because I'll be honest, somebody throws me in prison for something I didn't do, I'm going to be pretty upset. I'm not likely going to be saying, well, thank you, Lord, for this new opportunity. Let's see what can happen here. Sweet. I'm going to be saying, what in the world is going on. But let's see what Joseph did. Gets thrown in prison for something he didn't do. Look at verse 21. We see again, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison, listen to this, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, look at what it says here about Joseph. What does it say there? He was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. There it is again. And notice what it says here. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So he's in prison. Not many places you would rather not be more than prison. Especially for something that you weren't guilty of doing. So he's in prison. People around him are in need. They need help. Joseph's response was, yeah, because I'm doing great. Everything's going great in my life, so let me help you. Why don't you back away before something bad happens to you? See, that's how I would respond in that situation. I got my own problems. Put your big boy pants on and handle it yourself. The Bible said that Joseph got to work. And even in the midst of prison, you notice what it said there in verse 23? And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Then in the midst of all of this, he's still in prison. All of a sudden, Pharaoh comes calling. And he sends his butler to go get him. And he says, Pharaoh's had a dream. He needs you to interpret dreams, just like he did for me. Okay, is he going to get me out of prison? He didn't know that. He didn't know anything about that at the time. So God brings him before Pharaoh. We're going to learn about the dream later. Pharaoh has this weird dream. I mean, it's weird. So Joseph says, remember we learned, I don't have the answer, but I know who does. It's not in me, but God has the answer. So Joseph says, give me some time. God's going to give me the answer. Long story short, he's able to interpret Pharaoh's dream. So now he's face to face with the man who's allowing all of these things to happen to him that aren't even his fault. And still Joseph says, well, I'm going to do what I can for God while I'm here. And let's look what happens to Joseph as a result. Turn to Genesis chapter 41, just a few pages over. Remember, Pharaoh has gone to everybody in his kingdom trying to find out the interpretation of this dream, and nothing. None of his people, none of his sorcerers, none of his quote-unquote wise men, nobody can help him. Joseph says, I'll ask God. Obviously, God gives him the interpretation of the dream. He tells Pharaoh exactly what it's about, exactly what's going to happen. Look at Pharaoh's response. Pick it up at verse 39. Chapter 41, verse 39. It says, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this? I'm sorry, that's verse 38. Verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and gave him all the finest clothes, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. So now, all of a sudden, finally, in Joseph's life, we see a massive change in the right direction. He's taken out of prison where he shouldn't have been in the first place. And now not only is he given his freedom, Pharaoh literally says, there's no one like you in this kingdom. There's no one like you here. So here's what I'm going to do. The only person in authority over you is me. And he literally made Joseph the ruling authority in the entire land of Egypt under only Pharaoh himself. And basically Pharaoh said, everything that happens in this kingdom, it's going to be what you say, Joseph. So what did Joseph say? It's about time. I've been waiting on this. So how did we end up here? But if you know what you'll notice in these situations is that the same thing is happening in Joseph's life every single time. He's taken away from his family. He's taken away from his home. But you know what he does? He gets to work. He says, God, whatever you have for me to do. How many times did you hear the word do or did in those verses? God said, I'm just going to do what I can. God made him to prosper in Potiphar's house. He gets thrown in prison for something he didn't do. God made him prosper even in prison. Because of the way he prospered in prison, he gets taken before Pharaoh himself. God makes him prosper in front of Pharaoh like no one else ever has. And then we see Joseph's life completely changed. And what we are seeing is in each and every situation in Joseph's life, we see God working in Joseph to make him what he needs to be. See, once again, God has a plan for your life. And just like I had Brother Earl and Brother Daniel come up here and try to make that material into what needed to be. In the midst of God's plan for your life, He's going to start working on you. And He's going to start molding you because He has a plan for you to be used by His power. I was so excited this morning when I heard about Anthony and Dominic and Abraham, is that right? Abram getting saved this morning. Man, that was fantastic. That was great. But you know what, guys? You three that got saved this morning, you know what God didn't save you to do? Nothing. God didn't save you to do nothing. God saved you because He has a plan for you to be used by His power for His glory. See, part of the wonderful relationship of God is allowing Him to work on us. Allowing Him to make us into what we're supposed to be. But guys, if we're going to become what God wants us to be, it's going to take effort. It's going to take a willingness to follow God regardless of our circumstances. Because that's the problem. And that's where we've got to learn from Joseph. I'm going to ask you a question here, and I'm not trying to make anybody think about something that's unpleasant. Any of you kids ever known somebody that is battling or has maybe passed away from cancer? Yeah. Some of you have. Cancer is a horrible, horrible disease. But you know, there are spiritual cancers as well. I know, guys, y'all are tired. Stay with me now. Wake up. But you know, one of the things that is becoming a cancer amongst Christians more and more every single day, I'll do what God wants me to do as long as God is doing what I want Him to do. And guys, that's going to rob us of the opportunities of becoming what God has planned for us to be. God's design for people is to be used by Him for His glory.
You know, God tells us that He created us for His purpose, to be used for His work, to do what He desires to be done. Poor Brother Earl kind of got set up tonight. But you know, even that piece of concrete, you could make that into what you wanted it to be. But you need tools. And you'd have to break it apart, and then you'd have to add water back to it, and you'd have to do all kinds of stuff to it. But you'd need instruments, you need tools to do that. I thought about suggesting maybe he start banging it against his head and see how long it took, but I didn't think he'd fall for that. When you do work, you need instruments, you need tools. But guys, think about this. God can use us if we will allow Him to work on us. But here's the key that you've got to understand about God molding you and making you. See, this is what we want. A perfect example of the way we want God to work is the way I expected learning the piano to work. I love piano music. I can just listen to people play the piano and I just love it. It relaxes me. It's beautiful. It's my favorite instrument is the piano. So when I was a kid, I used to listen to piano music with my mother, who was here this morning. And so I thought, duh, my mom can play the piano. Mom, I want to learn.
I'll be honest, guys, I used to be in shape. I'm not anymore. I've been working on it. But you know what doesn't help me get in shape? eating whatever I want and doing absolutely nothing. I've tried that. Here we are. I've got to exercise. I've got to work out. I've got to use my physical body. See, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 5. I want you to turn there with me. The book of Romans chapter 5 this morning. Romans chapter 5. The mistake that we make so often is that we look at hardships, we look at tribulations, and we look at struggles that happen in our life as bad things. And we look at them as some kind of punishment. And we look at them, this must mean that I've done something wrong. This must mean that I've been some bad person. This must mean that something wrong is happening in my life. But remember, you've got to take the whole picture of God together. The problem is we look at one section and that's the only thing that we see, and that's not the way God works. You've got to remember His design. You've got to remember His purpose. You've got to remember the fact that He created you for a reason. You've got to remember the fact that He saved your soul for a reason.
Amen.
Right. That reason is not to just simply get out of hell. There's so much more to the Christian life than just not going to hell. There's so much more to being a child of God and being saved by Jesus Christ than just getting to go to heaven. Both of those things have to do with what's at the end of our life. But what about why God saved you for right here and for right now? Because God is going to prepare you to be used by Him.
Amen.
Joseph went through so many hardships. Joseph went through these terrible things in his life. And it was all for a specific purpose. So that God could teach him how to prosper no matter what the circumstances were going on in his life. Because as we're going to see in the next couple of days, as we're going to see in the next couple of lessons, Joseph comes across something in which every single person he knows and every single person that he has known is going to come for him, going to come to him for help.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what Joseph has to be doing in this time is preparing himself to prosper when the circumstances say that he shouldn't. See, in the book of Romans chapter 5, look at what it says there. In verse 3, Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Stop right there for a second. That big word tribulations means difficulties, hardships, hard times, the rough things that happen in our life, all the stuff that happens that we don't like in life. But I wish I could tell you that as soon as you're saved, it's nothing but video games and ice cream and cheeseburgers and duck or whatever the stuff is that you like. I wish I could say that it's that stuff, and no secret how I got this physique, amen? Nothing but basketball, nothing but whatever, music, whatever you want. Whatever it is that you like, I wish you to say it with no problems for the rest of your life. But that's not the way God's design works. What God says is, I've got all of these amazing things ready for you, but you've got to be willing to follow me to go get it. Amen. And see, Joseph has all, look at where he is now. Look at where Joseph is now. Because you've got to understand that the nation of Egypt at this time was the most powerful kingdom in the world. So if you really want to boil it down and think about it, by Pharaoh telling Joseph, the only person more powerful than you in the world is in this kingdom is me, you got to understand that Pharaoh is basically ruling the world at this time. Because his people and his nation is the most powerful nation on earth.
That's right.
And so Joseph has gone from a prisoner falsely accused for something he didn't do to basically the second most powerful man in the world.
Yeah.
Amen. Because in the midst of every single one of his hardships, he didn't throw up his hands. He didn't say, I quit. He didn't say, I give up. He says, God, I trust you. I've trusted you with my life. So I trust that you've got a reason. I'm going to let you take control and do what you want. And as a result, what did we see? Everywhere Joseph went, God made what he did to prosper. How many of y'all like getting stuff?
Oh, yeah.
And y'all a bunch of liars and asleep tonight. We all like getting stuff. How many of you like getting... Okay. How many... I forget. So how many of you have older siblings? Right? Older brothers, older sisters. How many of you have had to deal with what's called hand-me-downs?
Oh, yeah.
Clothes and stuff from your... That's why, man, I tell you, one of the greatest moments of my life was that summer when I grew so much and I got so much taller than my brother. Wow. He started trying to hand me some of his hand-me-downs, and I had to say, you too short, chump. I can't wear your scrawny stuff no more. But now, how many of you like, and would you rather have hand-me-downs or something nice and new that's never been worn by anybody other than you?
Yeah.
The new stuff's better, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you like the nice. Your parents ever try to get, you know, get you generic stuff? My parents, I grew up on generic cereal. Stuff like Honey O's and stuff like that. I think, man, why can't we just have some Honey Nut Cheerios? I mean, it's right there. I should buy in the name. No, I'm buying the stuff that doesn't taste like cardboard. I'm like, it's another 15 cents, really? Fruity-O's. Man, you put some Fruit Loops. Come on. All of that kind of stuff. I barely survived, guys. I barely survived. I always love Christmas. You know, excited, opening the presents. And my parents have such a wonderful sense of humor. I'd open one of those presents. I'm so excited. Open up that box. Underwear. Socks. Grab my list. I don't see that on here anywhere. But then when I got to the good stuff, I opened like the new video game system. There you go. I'm not going to start talking about what video games were when I was a kid. A new pair of shoes or something. That weren't from like, and trust me, I got no problem with Walmart stuff. Man, when I was a kid, I was asking for the Nikes. Every now and then, I'd get a pair. I was very neglected, guys. You also feel sorry for me.
Oh, technically,
you know what the secret is to getting stuff from God? You know what the secret is to getting things out of life? Being willing to follow Him regardless of what's happening in your circumstances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Notice what it says there in Romans. We glory in tribulations also. That we don't act, we don't react to tribulations like a brand new present of socks. Oh. Why can't things just go right in my life? Now, I'll be honest. That's how I act when things don't go my way. Well, what does it say here? Tribulation does what? I glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us.
Man.
I told you guys how much of a sports fan I am. But you know what always... It breaks my heart, but really it just kind of makes me mad and it frustrates me. Whatever sport you want to pick, I see one of these new guys coming up, you know, baseball, NBA, MLB, NBA, NFL, whatever. And man, they got all the talent in the world. And they can do things that, man, I would have given one of my kids to be able to do. I love basketball. But I can't jump over a piece of paper, okay? And I see these guys, I mean, I love watching dunk contests and stuff like that when they're good. These guys can jump and do all of these ridiculous things. And I was like, come on, Lord, just one time. Just one time let me do that. I see these guys with all this talent to do all these things. but they're not willing to work at it. I see these incredibly talented athletes just turn into one of those guys that sits the bench their whole career. And before you know it, a couple of years later, you never even heard of them again. Why? Because they weren't willing to work. They weren't willing to practice. They weren't willing to learn what would make them better. And guys, if we're going to be willing to get the most out of our relationship with God, it's going to take being able to work through the hardships.
Man.
Guys, we don't want to be this in the hands of the Lord.
No.
Okay? We want to be this. We want God to be able to take us and mold us and use us and to form us into whatever He would want us to be. Because it's the only way we're going to see all of the goodness that God has in store for us. Let me ask you this. What would have happened to Joseph? What do you think? And what we learned about God, now I got that stuff all over me, man. Y'all see that? If when Joseph got to Potiphar's house, with all the stuff we've learned about God, what do you think is going to happen if when he gets to Potiphar's house, he says, man, I don't know you. You're not my father. I don't have any reason to follow you. I don't want to be here. I don't like it here. I want to go home. I'm not doing anything for you. What do you think would have happened in Joseph's life if he would have responded to Potiphar that way? What do you think would have happened to Joseph when he went to jail for something he didn't even do? If he just sat in the corner and said, I can't believe this happened to me. Everything is against me. Everybody's out to get me. Everybody's trying to ruin my life. What happens to Joseph then? Guys, we've got to be willing to let God take us through the hardships of life so that He can strengthen us, so that He can make us stronger, so that He can build us, so that He can form us, so that He can do in us what He would want to do and make us into what He would have us to be. Any of you guys ever remember Transformers? Did you guys ever play with Transformers? The two things that I loved growing up, Transformers and G.I. Joes. Man, that's the building blocks of life right there, guys. Y'all don't know nothing about G.I. Joes, y'all are missing out. Yeah. But I love Transformers. Man, what's not to like? You got a cool car, and then all of a sudden you got an awesome robot. What's not to like about that? Man, I used to make me and my relationship play with those all the time. Fast forward about 20 years. I remember getting my son his first Transformer. You remember this, Rachel? We opened it up for him. He was so little he couldn't even open the bread. We opened it up for him at Christmas. And we show him this robot, this cool car that it can turn into and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, oh, wow, cool. Fast forward about 3 hours later. I still couldn't figure out how to get that Transformer to work. I couldn't get it to transform. I couldn't get it to do anything. I was like, well, maybe the arm goes this way. Maybe. Hey, son, what's that? Transformer went away. But eventually, figured it out. But guys, if you want to see God transform you into what only the maker of the universe can do,
that's right,
like us, you've got to be willing to let Him work.
Amen. Yes.
Remember that verse we talked about in the book of Ecclesiastes? It says, He hath made all things beautiful in His time.
Yes, amen.
I want God to make... I mean, look at this, guys. Look at this. Look what I have to work with. But God says He can make this beautiful.
Yeah.
So I want God to make this beautiful. But right after that verse, It also says that He has set the world in our hearts so that we can't figure out the things is that he, what the things are that He does.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? God has intentionally created us with limitations. You know why? Because we can't be trusted with what He can do. Look what happened with Adam and Eve. What did they do with the opportunity God gave them?
Yeah.
And they turned out all right, don't worry. But guys, God has a very specific plan for us. And if we're going to fulfill it, if we're going to be able to find out what God wants to make out of us, He says right after that, that our part is to simply do good. And to simply trust Him and rejoice in the opportunities He's put before us. Guys, it wasn't some magnificent thing that Joseph did when he was in the middle of all these things. He just simply did what was right. And when these hardships and these trials and all these difficulties come into your life, you're not going to know what to do, you're not going to know how to fix it, and you're not going to know what the ultimate outcome is supposed to be. But that's not your job. What God wants you to do is say, I've got this. You just do what you know is right. You just do what I've taught you. You just do what I've told you. And you watch what I can do with your life.
Amen. Amen.
That's
right.
I'm trying to get you guys to understand a very important lesson that at 40 years old, I still haven't learned. You're not going to be able to figure life out. You're not going to be able to find the answers yourself. There's a very powerful verse of Scripture that you guys need to learn. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33.
Amen.
The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. This is what that verse literally means. When it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that means allow God to be the ultimate rule and authority in your life. Let God have control. Let God do with you what He wants. Then after that, with every step that you take, do your very best to do what God says is right. And then God says, I've got everything else. See, the mistake that we always make, where are we at, adults? Let's help these teenagers realize this. What do we always do? Well, I've got to take care of this. I've got to do this. I've got to earn this. I've got to make sure this is in place. I've got to make sure that this is ready. I've got to earn this money. I've got to take care of this bill. I've got to provide this from. I've got to. And the whole time what God is saying, that's not what I was trying to make you into. That's not what I'm trying to mold you to be. This is all my job. If you would just be this and do what I told you, I'll take care of everything else.
Amen.
But we keep trying to do it on our own.
Uh-huh.
We keep trying to make our life what we want it to be. I keep trying to make my church what I want my church to be. But it's not my church. This isn't my life. This is the life that God has given me. This is the path that God has set before me. This is what God is trying to make me to be. See, in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Yes.
And if we will let Him take control in our life, and if we will just say, God, I don't know what, but Your will, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to do what I know is right. And I'm going to let you make what you want out of this picture.
Amen.
That's when God makes all things beautiful.
Right.
If we will be willing to just do good. You ever noticed your parents being really stressed out? Anybody ever noticed your parent dealing with stress a lot in your life? How do you think that Brother Daniel and I came across this haircut? You know why we get so worried and so stressed out? Because we're not staying in our part. And we're not doing what God would have us to be. And we're not allowing God to be first and take control. I know that's true in my life anyway. Maybe I'm not telling on y'all the way that your life goes. But I have a nasty tendency in my life of thinking, I can make this work. I can make this do what I want. And then I end up having to call out to God to fix it. Rather than just following Him and letting Him make me into what He would have me to be.
Man.
It's God that works in us.
Amen.
It's not according to our ability. It's not according to our power. It's according to what God can do in us. And you may be thinking, yeah, I get that, but God can, I don't have anything that God can use.
Hmm.
I don't have anything that God's not going to do anything with me. I'm nobody. One of my favorite verses of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, where God says that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And it doesn't even end there.
That's right.
The Bible says, according to the power that worketh in us. You see, guys, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He puts literally that same power we keep talking about,
amen,
that holds all the universe in order, that holds everything in space, that keeps the planets from knocking into one another, that keeps the earth from being flooded, that keeps the polar ice caps from flooding the whole world. Hate to break it to you, they've been melting for a while. They're still going to be there until God says so.
Right, right. Sure.
That same power is literally at work in every single fiber of our being whenever we accept Him as our Savior. All we've got to do is say, God, not my will. What do you want from me? We've got to let Him mold us and make us. Because guess what happens if we decide to be this kind of material? I'm going to introduce you to another Bible character. And as soon as I do, I bet money that some of y'all are going to know exactly where I'm going. It was another king, but his name was Nebuchadnezzar. And this guy had a tendency to think that he was the man.
Yeah.
And he, physically speaking, he was. Much later in time, he's the king of Babylon. Babylon is the strongest nation in the world, wealthiest nation in the world. But there was a very similar situation. Just like Pharaoh and Joseph, there was Nebuchadnezzar and there was a man of God named Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had these dreams. Daniel keeps telling them what they mean. So one last dream comes up, and I'm just going to sum it up for you. Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, king, God's telling you if you don't humble yourself before God, you're going to lose it all.
Right.
Nebuchadnezzar says, okay. But then he starts looking around. And you know what Nebuchadnezzar starts saying? Look at all this that I've done. Look at everything that I've made. Look at all the money that I've acquired. Look at all the kingdoms that I've conquered. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And the next thing you know it, the Bible says that very moment, God took his kingdom away from him.
Yeah.
God took his mind away from him. This same guy who was the most powerful, most wealthy man in all of the world goes insane and starts running out into the field with all the animals and starts living and behaving just like one of those animals. Think about what people are seeing when one day he's doing this and the next day he's out there eating grass like the animals. The Bible says that his hair grew like eagle's feathers, and his nails like animal's claws. And he's out there eating grass just like a cow or something. And I want you to turn with me to one last place, to the book of Daniel, chapter 4. And we'll be done tonight. To the book of Daniel, chapter 4. The Bible says that his mind comes back to him. And God gives him back his mind first. And then he realizes. Look at verse 34 of Daniel chapter 4. If you can't find it, that's okay. Just listen to this for a second. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34 says, "And at the end of the days," meaning at the end of the time that he was living like a beast, at the end of the time that he had lost his mind, he said, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned to me," meaning got his mind back, "and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever." Notice what it says here. "Whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." You know what Nebuchadnezzar realizes? I've got nothing. God is the King of Kings. God is the one who's in control. God is the one whose power will never be taken away.
Amen.
God is the one who decides what happens, when, for how long, to how many people. God is the one who's in control. I am nothing. And I want you to look down now at the very last verse in that chapter, verse 37. It says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment." And this is what I want to leave you with tonight. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abate.
Yes.
Got a stupid illustration for you. I'm really good at those. I'll talk to you about how I have an older brother. I know this is going to shock you, but there were times when my older brother and I did not agree. I have been known to have what is called a bit of a temper and a slight anger issue. And I don't know what was the matter with my brain, but even though my brother was 3.5 years older than me, every single time that he made me mad enough and we got angry, I got up off the floor and I said, "All right, bub, this time you're going down." And I would charge him and I was determined I was just fixing to wipe the floor with him. Then when I would come to, I'm just kidding. Needless to say, that never happened. Ever. But every single time I said, "That's it. I'm going to take you down." And every single time, give him credit, he never hurt me too bad. But every single time my brother would have to tell me, "No, you're not." But see, guys, what we've got to understand is we're not just talking about somebody who's strong. We're talking about God. We're talking about the ruler of the universe. We're talking about the person who spoke and all of the universe came into existence.
Amen.
We are talking about the God who controls the tides of the sea. We are talking about the God who enables every single beat of your heart. We are talking about the God that enables your limbs to move. So guys, what I'm trying to tell you is God is going to put you in position to be molded into what He would have you to be. But if you're going to make the decision to pursue what you want to be and not let God have control, if you're determined to harden yourself against God, guys, even this can be used. But you know what's going to happen to this before it can be used? It's got to be broken. It's got to be taken to pieces and then put back together the way it's designed to be. Guys, be Joseph. Don't be Nebuchadnezzar.
Amen.
Allow God to work in you. Allow God to use you. Allow God to make you into what He would have you to be, because only then are you going to be able to find the glory and the reward and the goodness and all of the amazing things that God can do with your life.
Man.
But only if you're willing to surrender to Him. You say, "Man, this is really heavy." I've got time. I'm just a kid. I'm just a kid. I don't got to worry about this right now. Anybody remember how old Joseph was when we first started learning about him?
17.
When we were first introduced to Joseph, how old was he?
17
years old. 17 years old. And you know what happens if you keep telling yourself, okay, fine, some of y'all just got saved. Brother Joel, I just got saved, man. Give me a day. Give me some time. You know what that turns into? More time.
Yeah.
And more time. And before you know it, you're 40 years old trying to figure out how to surrender to God.
Man.
I'm not saying that every single one of you has to become a preacher right now. I'm not saying that every single one of you has to become a missionary right now. All right, Cameron, get up, get on the next plane to Africa. You're going to be a missionary right now. Get out. That's not what I'm saying. But maybe God wants you to be more service in your church. Amen. Maybe God wants you to talk to someone in your family that needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe God wants you to be more obedient to your parents. Maybe God wants you to be more kind to your siblings. I guarantee you this. God wants you to do something. Because every single person that He has ever saved, He has saved for the purpose of doing something.
Yeah.
And what we have in every church in the world and in every area of Christian life is too many Christians that are okay with being nothing.
Yeah, right.
And that's not what God's design is for your life.
That's right. Amen.
So the question is this. Are you willing to let God make you what He wants? Or are you going to waste time hardening yourself going after what you want? Let God use you. Let God take control of your life and watch what He can do in every single area of
Amen.
Your life.
Amen.
Joseph's circumstances were as bad as it gets. And then Joseph's circumstances became as good as it gets.
Yeah.
And I promise you, you read Scripture, it's because in every single stop in Joseph's life, the Bible says the Lord blessed that which he did.
Yeah.
Determine to be a doer.
Yeah.
And watch what God can do by molding
Amen.
Your life
Amen.
In a way that only He can.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to stand tonight. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. A little bit different tonight. But you've heard all that, just about all that can be said, in every way it can be said, of how you need to give your soul to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But it's not just about that, guys. Yes, you need to be saved. If you're here tonight and you've never given your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never be nothing but sinful without the intervention
Amen.
Of the Holy God.
Right.
But maybe you're here and you know full well that you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but you know just as well that you are not being what God wants you to be. I'm going to let you in on a little secret, guys. There's no such thing in the life of Jesus Christ as good enough. There is only fully surrendered or the Christian that needs to get right. What position are you in? Some of us have been through it. Don't dare God to break you. Don't harden yourself against God like Nebuchadnezzar and say, look who I am. Because every time you harden yourself against God and say, look who I am, God's going to remind you who He is.
Yeah.
Humble yourself before God and let Him have His way. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before You today. Lord, we thank You so much that You see fit to use such flawed vessels as we are.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray now that You would take control of every heart, soul, and mind. I pray, God, that You would use us in the way that only You can. But, God, that only happens when we surrender and when we give ourselves over to You. Heavenly Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit's power to be upon every heart, soul, and mind, that you can do what only you can do. It's in your most precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We've talked so many times about all the different reasons. Bottom line, guys, you know if you're dealing something better than anybody else. Don't deal with it on your own. Don't hold it inside. Don't try to hold back. Don't be worried about what anybody's thinking. Don't be worried about anybody's going to say. Don't think in your mind, well, I don't understand really. You know if God's talking to you. And if God's talking to you, don't resist them.
Amen.
Find one of these people that are here to help you, that are here because they love you, and say, look, I need some help.
Amen.
And let them show you how to give yourself, Lord Jesus Christ.
Challenge. How many of you have been challenged? Raise your hand. How many of you, Brother Mark? I said young people. How many of you have been challenged? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you have. And share with me. Share with me in what way. Kaylee?
Just honoring him more, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes we get so caught up in our day, and we just forget, you know what I mean? We get so caught up in life and things, and just being able to be with him, you know what I mean? Like, keep him first priority, no matter what, you know?
Eight.
Anybody else?
Yeah. that the Lord could use anyone. Like, he used T-Ray to bring his friends, and one of his friends got saved, and, you know, he brought Keon, Dominic, and Ethan, and, you know, Dominic and Anthony got saved, and then Abram got saved.
Amen. Amen.
And we can all have that impact. Every one of us can. But as Pastor Joel mentioned, he said a lot of Christians are just sitting around.
Yeah.
Just doing nothing. That, like, we don't have, like, God doesn't have a purpose for you. You know, and like, as he said, God is not calling everybody to be a pastor, everybody to be a missionary.
Yep.
But God has a plan for every one of us.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And we can have an impact together in our community, like my son just mentioned, T-Ray. T-Ray brought boys I had never even seen before. You know, I've never seen these young men before. But he had. And he said, hey, I want to come to church. And the result of it is one of them got saved.
Amen.
Yeah. We don't know. But we have a part in the work that God has called the church to do.
Amen.
If you're a part of the church, God has called you to do something.
Amen.
If nothing else, God has called you to go out into our community or not even anywhere you are, in any part, and to be a light, and to be a vessel, so that we can bring men to Christ. We have a purpose. If you're a Christian today, you have a purpose. And if you're not a Christian today, God's willing that you repent from your sins and you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for every one of us. You know, one day someone came and knocked on my door. And I was not expecting what was going to happen with my life. I did not know what was going to happen. I thought I had my life planned out. And to be honest with you, it wasn't good. It wasn't good. But he came and knocked on my door, and Jesus Christ changed my life.
Amen.
He changed my direction. And he says, God wants all of you, every bit of you. I was a welder. I was a welder working 60 hours a week, coming to church services, you know, doing all those things, with all those things. But I was also having an impact at my job.
Amen.
You know, sharing the gospel, started a Bible study. We can all,
amen,
all of us can have an impact anywhere we are.
That's right.
Any part, any anywhere. There's no excuse. But sadly, we got so many Christians that are so caught up in the things of the world, and they set aside the things of God. Mm-hmm. That's not what God called you for.
That's right.
He got greater things for us.
Amen. Amen.
He truly, truly does. If you surrender your life to God, if you give Him everything, Lord, everything, He'll do something with your life. He'll use it for His glory. You don't know the impact that you can have on somebody's life. If you're living a surrendered life. We're going to head out, and as I mentioned before, to every one of you, okay, you can talk to anybody here, any adult, anybody.
Amen.
We're all willing to talk to you. We're all willing to share with you. We're all willing to sit down and talk about the Word of God with you.
Right.
Every one of us. Whether it's myself, my wife, Brother Earl, Miss Cindy, Brother Allen, Miss Alicia, Pastor, Miss Marcia, Pastor Joel,
amen,
anybody, anybody, my twin brother over there, Brother King, he kind of does look up here.